Hey, I'm Bruce Weinstein, and this is the podcast Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
And I'm Mark Scarborough, and together with Bruce, we have written 36 cookbooks. We are writing the 36 and first cookbook currently. I can't wait to tell you about it. In fact, some people on Facebook and social media have asked, are we writing a vegan cookbook, given especially this episode of our podcast? And the answer is sort of. So I can't wait to tell you about the sort of vegan and vegetarian cookbook that we're currently writing. Bruce is looking at me strange, but it is. It has a vegan edge to it, but it does.
What about the bacon recipes we went over this morning?
There are only like a handful of things that couldn't be considered vegan.
This is true.
In the book, there's maybe out of 425 recipes, there's maybe five that couldn't be considered not just vegetarian, but vegan. Yeah. It's insane.
Okay,
so we're writing that cookbook now. We'll tell you much more about that down the road. It's super exciting.
It is.
But we have a 1-minute cooking tip about what to do if you hate cooking. I don't know why you're on this podcast with us, but good for you.
Because you love us. That's why.
Oh, that must be it. We're going to go to the kitchen and make some fudgy olive oil, yes, vegan brownies This recipe is going to appear both on our website, bruceandmark.com, or cookingwithbruceandmark.com. It'll also probably come out in our newsletter. You don't have to copy it down now if you're in the car. Don't have a wreck. You'll get it if you're signed up for our newsletter, or you go out to our website and find it under this podcast. And we'll tell you what's making us happy in food this week. So let's talk about hating to cook.
Today's 1-minute cooking tip is about food and music. And here's my theory.
It's a long way from hating to cook, but go on.
If you hate cooking, then do things to make it more enjoyable while you're in the kitchen, music.
True.
I play music all the time when I'm in the kitchen.
Bruce plays usually really trashy Europop.
Europop, Afropop,
and
I love
K-pop.
That stuff.
Yes, that's you as the K-pop master. So, yes, exactly. You play stuff that I have to put earplugs in for.
But not just...
It hurts my Beethoven ears, my Bach-sensitive ears.
But it's not just in the kitchen when you're cooking. Music is great with food. If you're someone who likes to put music on during a dinner party or even just when you're having dinner, try it at lunch. You know, I remember starting when I was a teenager and my family would have dinner every night, putting music on, and my parents thought it was weird at first. And I would put music on because the stereo was in the other room.
That's what I'm laughing about. I did the same thing.
And then I blasted it, and I tried it once at my grandparents' house, and my grandmother would have no part of it. First of all, the only records she had were like Yiddish folk songs.
Oh, God.
Yiddish folk songs over dinner.
That's not where I was going. This must be the way you know someone's gay, because I did the same thing. I went and I'm old enough that I opened the big console stereo with the cabinet that opens from the top, and I put a record on. I'm sure it was like Montavanti strings or whatever those were, or some
The Boston Pops.
Ray Conniff singers or something from the dark age, Perry Como. And I put it on during dinner, and my parents were so like, what in the world is going on, and why is this going on? I should have just said gay.
I want to do a thing on social media and find out if other gay people did that. Did you put music on when you were a teenager during dinner? Okay, so here's the thing about...
I don't think that's the primary way you know you're gay, but...
maybe.
We'll leave it.
Okay, if you like having music at dinner and you do it at a dinner party, it can be tricky, can't it?
Yeah, well, this is a whole different subject, but yes. If your friends are musicians and they come over for a dinner party and you like to play music, do ask them if it's okay if you play music. Musicians are a different class altogether. Well, in so many ways, but they're a different class altogether. Because they are so into music that music can be very distracting and they can become lost or obsessed with or irritated by the music that's playing. I wouldn't dare. We have a good friend who is a concert classical pianist, and she comes over all the time for Bruce's Chinese-inspired menus. She herself is Taiwanese, and she allows us to put music on. She says it's fine, but I would never put... like the Goldberg Variations are, which is what she played her PhD recital in. So
which
I would
she played
never
on
do.
Our piano,
yes,
too.
Exactly. And that, which she would get lost in, that guy's not doing it the way I do it, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So be careful with musicians and music.
And my personal taste is no lyrics, unless they're in a language I don't understand. Because if I'm hearing English lyrics, I'm going to be distracted. So put them on in any other language, and I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. We have a friend who got his PhD in tuba.
So no tuba music when he's here.
No, well, no. He doesn't like really much music during dinner. He's one of the ones who said to me, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm off duty.
So, yeah, just be careful about musicians and music. But dude, play it in the kitchen. It will make cooking such a better task. Okay, before we get to the kitchen itself, in which we're going to make these fudgy olive oil brownies that, dare I say it, are vegan, let me say that we do have a newsletter. This recipe will probably appear in our newsletter. I haven't written it yet, but it probably will appear in our newsletter. You can sign up for that newsletter by going to our website, Bruce and Mark, and that's with a K, mark.com, or cooking with Bruce and mark.com. You can sign up there. And as I always tell you, we do not capture your emails, nor your names, nor your addresses. You can't have two nors, but I just did it as the writer. And we don't capture any of that. And you can always unsubscribe at any moment. And I do not let MailChimp, the provider, capture your name and your email. So it's completely guilt-free and fuss-free, and you can always unsubscribe at any time. That's the way you can find out that newsletter. And other than that, we're off to the kitchen.
We had such a great response to our vegan fudgy chocolate cookies.
Did.
It was such a popular podcast.
And it was popular in videos on Instagram Reels, on TikTok, on our TikTok channel. It was great.
So we thought we would offer up our fudgy olive oil vegan brownies. And what kills me is when you mention olive oil in baking, people are like, what? How do people not know that you could bake with olive
because
oil?
Because I think the olive oil game has upped so much over our lifetime and over our cooking careers that people now know all about these really wild, buttery, expensive, grassy, herbal, herbaceous, I'm using as many adjectives as I can throw at it, olive oils.
Freshly opened tennis balls.
Yes. That's our joke, is what do things taste like? Oh, dryer lint, belly button lint. What you want to say when you drink a glass of wine? Tennis balls. Anyway, we make a joke about how these things taste. But again, the olive oil game has so upped over the years that, in fact, people are used to really high-end stuff. And really, you don't need a high-end olive oil for baking.
In fact, you want, in most cases, a mild oil. But you still want to use extra virgin because of the viscosity and the texture, and you want to make sure you're really getting
someday,
olive oil.
Someday, somewhere, I really want to cook with extra slutty olive oil, but that's a whole different matter entirely. So,
does that involve music in the kitchen?
It probably does. So what we're going to do is, to start out, we're going to turn the oven on 350 Fahrenheit or 175 centigrade, and we're going to turn on convection, or if you're in the UK, the fan. So 350 Fahrenheit convection or 175 fan, and then Bruce is going to line an 8-inch or 20-centimeter square pan with parchment paper. And explain how you do this.
So here's the thing. I have used to be the biggest fan of baking spray.
You did.
And I am so not the biggest fan of baking spray anymore.
We've converted you. We've brought you to the dark side.
When we lived in Manhattan, and maybe I've said this story before, but I'm going to say it again. I would never use that spray in the kitchen because I didn't want to get my cabinets greasy and dirty. So what I do, I go out in the hallway.
Right.
So there were... The hallway was so slippery from years of spraying.
If you put your
stuff,
hand on the wall of the hallway in our building, you would fall down because your hand would just slip down the wall.
And eventually the building renovated and they painted all the hallways. And so then I started doing it in the stairway.
Oh, excellent.
It was the most dangerous stairway in Manhattan.
It was.
Just, you don't want to go there. So.
It's partly because our kitchen was 4 feet wide. So, I mean, it was this thing that it would just go everywhere. But now Bruce has become an aficionado of the
parchment. So I line everything with parchment. And here's how you line a square pan with parchment. So I have my 13-inch square of parchment. Now, if you buy sheets of parchment, they're usually 13 by 18, so cut it down to a 13 square.
And that's 33 centimeter square for anyone not in the backwards U.S. 33 centimeters. Okay, go on.
And you're going to use a scissor to make diagonal cuts from the corner towards the center. You're going to make about a 2.5 to 3-inch cut.
That's about a 7-centimeter cut. Go on.
On each corner towards the middle. That way, when you now put this sheet inside, those corners are going to overlap and it's going to slip right in, and you're going to have a beautifully lined pan. If you want to see how this is done, just go to our TikTok channel. There's a quick little TikTok there, Cooking with Bruce and Mark, of me doing this.
I mean, you have no way of knowing this about me, but long before I was an English major and long before I went to grad school in literature and all that stuff, I was the chemistry nerd of all chemistry nerds. And so, of course, I got totally into metric. And I remember in 1975 in Chemistry 1, I bought a centigrade thermometer for our house outside, and my mother flipped out.
Oh, yeah, you communist.
I know.
You were a communist.
I was a socialist from long back. And I put this centigrade thermometer on the back porch of our house, and my mother absolutely freaked out.
Your Texas Republican mother was not going to like that.
No, she actually said, we don't live in Russia. So... so I have been a fan of metrics for a long time. It's how you do in chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was just going to, you know, normalize metrics.
Did you ever go with the metric clock with just 1 to 10?
No, nobody ever went with that. That's such an insane thing.
Lisa Simpson does it in one episode on The Simpsons.
It's a thing. They toyed around with it in Hungary once. If you don't know, it's the day is divided into 10 hours. The hours are divided into 100 minutes. Each minute is 100 seconds. So actually a second is not what you think. A second or a minute is not what you think now. A minute. It's a crazy idea, and it's never going to fly because the clock has become so globalized in our weird 24-hour problem. Okay, so let's get off this metric.
Okay, we're going to go on to our one bowl batter, and I have already broken up 2.5 ounces or 80 grams of super dark chocolate and melted it in the microwave. And we used, I believe this was 78%?
Yeah, 78. So what you want is the percent number is the percent of cocoa solids. And you want that number to have a 7 as its first digit. So somewhere between 70 and 79% is where you want to hit with this, because you want really nice dark chocolate, but you don't want a ton of bitterness. Mm-hmm. So he's got this melted and stirred. If you don't know about melting chocolate in the microwave, just do it on, what did you say, 10 second burst? Did you say that already? No, I guess I'm saying it. Okay, great. So in 10 second bursts, excellent.
I already did this.
I know. So you don't, in other words, don't stick it in there for a minute and a half. Put it in there for 10-15 second burst, and then stir it, and then do it again, and then do it again. But it's so much easier than a double boiler. Okay, so then what we're going to put in here is 1.25 cups of granulated white sugar. And if you're not in the U.S., we're going to use 250 grams of granulated or caster sugar. So go by weight. Don't go by volume if you're not in the U.S. But if you're in the U.S., it's 1.25 cups of granulated white sugar.
And, of course, the ingredient we talked about before, I have a 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, which is 60 mLs. Right. And I am getting every drop out of this measuring cup because I'm not wasting it.
And also into this bowl, we are putting 3 tablespoons. Now, I'm going to tell you what we're putting, but what you can put. We're putting 3 tablespoons. You can put. You can put 3 tablespoons of molasses. That's about 65 grams of molasses. We are actually, because we are so snotty, using black treacle.
I love black treacle.
If you don't know black treacle, it's this fabulous molasses-like substance, very priced in the UK. And if you go out to our YouTube channel, Cooking with Bruce and Mark, you can watch me make parkin. And I use black treacle in my parkin. And this is the first time I really got introduced to it. And so I became obsessed with black treacle. It's the whole thing.
And if you go to our Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark, I'm going to put a link there for where you can get black treacle online so you can get it sent right to you.
All right, and then a tablespoon or 15 mLs of vanilla extract. Please don't use imitation. Use the real thing. And
2/3 cup of almond milk.
And that's unsweetened almond milk, 160 mLs of unsweetened almond milk.
And now I'm whisking that up, and that's all nice and thick and syrupy. And into that is going to go a flour mixture, and we're going to do the flour separately to make sure it is all done. So in this other bowl, Mark has already measured 120 grams of plain flour, all-purpose flour.
1 cup of all-purpose flour.
I am dumping into that 62 grams or 3/4 cup of unsweetened cocoa.
Yes, and the question will come up, Dutch or natural. It doesn't really matter, does it, which you use here?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, Dutch is going to dissolve more easily than natural, but it's, and the color difference is going to be a little
different.
Dutch
makes it darker. Dutch makes it a darker color.
But, you know, either way, unsweetened cocoa powder is what you want.
And a teaspoon of baking powder and 1/4 teaspoon of salt.
Don't forget the salt. Yeah, it's crucial.
Whisking that up. And now we're going to fold that flour mixture into our chocolate mixture, and we're not going to overdo it. We don't want to develop too much gluten, so we're folding that
in. And remember, a fold is a rotating motion with a rubber or silicone spatula. You want to kind of lift off the bottom and pull toward the top, and then around and around in circles.
This looks delicious.
You don't stir, and then we're going to put a half a cup or 55 grams of chopped walnuts here, and we're going to fold that in as well.
Do not skip the nuts, because brownies without nuts is like a date without kissing. I don't know what it is.
My father so would have disagreed with you, but
yeah,
okay,
well,
go on.
Your father's wrong.
Careful, don't speak ill of the dead. Okay, so my father would have definitely disagreed
with
you.
All right, so I'm spreading that mixture now.
That's a huge fight my parents always had.
Why didn't they just buy two different kinds?
Buy two different kinds. My mother made brownies.
So she should have put the batter in the pan and just pressed nuts into half of it.
No, that would have never come up. She folded the nuts into the pan. I mean, it was her batter. Let her have it. Okay. Anyway, so now we're going to get this into that parchment-lined pan.
Yep, and it's going to go in the oven 20 minutes or until puffed up. And then we're going to cool it and taste
go
it.
Go with puffed. And is there a tester mark here?
No,
that we
just
want?
Puffed up.
Okay, yeah. So what about the feel on the top of it?
It'll feel semi-firm. These are going to be fudgy, right? So these are going to take a while. We're not going to taste these until they're really totally cold. So we're coming back in like 5 hours.
Okay, so we have let this cool for a long time. And Bruce is right. These were very, very fudgy. And they kind of had to settle. They fall down. They collapse. And they settle. And they get very fudgy. That's what we want.
I'm so glad I used the parchment because I had no sticking issues. And I'm holding a fudgy, dark piece of brownie. And
it
smells good.
I didn't bother smelling. I'm not French.
what the French smell everything? What is with that?
I don't know. But I'm not French, so I didn't smell it. I just ate it.
Mm, yummy.
You know what? In America, we don't smell. We just shove it in our mouths, and that's the deal. So anyway, these are super, super dense.
So fudgy.
They're fudgy. I wouldn't want to eat. Now, I'm like these, but I wouldn't want to eat like a pan of these things.
What's wrong with you? I'm going to eat the whole pan.
Oh, my gosh. I think these need milk desperately. That's me because I'm a U.S. citizen. I know a lot of people gross out at the thought of drinking milk. I said one time something about a glass of milk with chocolate cake, and somebody on social media said to me, no adult drinks milk. And I thought, well, I guess I do.
What about the billions of people that go to Starbucks and drink milk?
I don't know. Milk. But a cup of tea, this does need something because it is so rich.
These are good. Yeah, I like these.
Again, these are pretty amazing. You'll notice that there are no eggs. There's no butter. There is vanilla. I guess someone might think almonds are an animal product, but I don't know. They cast a shadow, so they must be animals.
Okay, now wait a second. I have a thought. Based on that, since you can't have any plant matter that produces a fruit or a seed without it being pollinated by an insect, wouldn't wheat then be only around because of insects? And therefore,
well, it's not a question of whether it's around because of animals. It's a question of whether it's a product of animals. And no one would say that wheat is a product of animals because, he says, reminding you, some pollination happens because of wind. So I don't think that what you're saying is
right. But what about the insect rights activists? I think you don't want to eat
something. You're just trying to be insane.
You're forcing those poor bees to pollinate your food.
Well, you are. And I don't know that they're so poor, but okay. I haven't checked their economic wherewithal, but fine. And by the way, it's poor, not poor.
What are those poor bees going to do?
Poor, as my mother would say. We're not using a pitcher. We're not poor. We're poor. So anyway, I don't know. But these are really delicious brownies. You can find them on our website. You can find them in our newsletter, all those places. Before we get to the last segment of this podcast, let me say that it would be great if you could connect with us in some way in the Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark, social media, our website. We're delighted to connect with you. We have a TikTok channel, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. We have an Instagram feed, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. Isn't that clever? We've done it all the same. You can connect with us in so many different ways. And up next, what's making us happy in food this week?
You go first, Mark.
I am going to go first. And the first thing that is making me happy in food this week is a chili crisp that Bruce makes with wasabi peas. And mm-hmm. I know that wasabi peas are not traditionally chili crisps. No. If you know anything about chili crisps, they are a very hot, grainy, nutty, seedy concoction. A lot of people might know the one that kind of hit the world stage, the Lao Gan Ma mm-hmm. chili crisp. But there are now, you probably know, dozens, maybe hundreds of chili crisps out there, including
ubiquitous.
G Daddy, S-Z-E Daddy, which is made, I believe, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But Bruce makes a chili crisp with wasabi peas and nori.
I do.
And it has this wildly spicy horseradish wasabi.
Fishy, seafoody.
Slightly seafoody taste to it. It is so delicious on cream cheese on a cracker.
Ooh,
it is
yum.
Hard to fathom how good it is. And I just gave you a hint about the pseudo-vegan cookbook, but I'm not going to say anything else. That's just some recipe testing, which made me very happy in the last week. What's making you happy in food this week?
Luden's Black Cherry Cough Drops.
Oh.
Sorry to snort.
I snorted. It was so funny to me. I wait before you say anything. I got sent to detention in fifth grade from eating too many Luden's in class. So please do go on.
I found a stash of them in my drawer. I was cleaning out my office and my knitting studio this weekend, and I found a bag of Luden's, and they hadn't expired. So clearly
they don't expire.
And there, I looked at the ingredients. They soothe your throat because they're one of the main ingredients. The active ingredient is pectin.
Yeah.
My God. I sat at my computer editing videos that afternoon, just like eating the whole bag of Luden's cough drops.
Well, you, as I, would have been sent to detention. I actually had detention.
Because you ate too many cough drops. What kind of school did
you go to? My friend and I were passing Luden's back and forth to each other.
What, after you sucked on them?
No.
Then why were they going back and forth?
Well, I mean, the box was going, and it's back when it came in a little paper box or whatever. And
but they're still individually wrapped in wax paper.
They were then, too. Yeah. They were individually wrapped, and he was passing them to me, and I was taking seats.
Was this the Ratner boy?
This was the Ratner boy. And we both got in big trouble from too many Luden's. For God's sake.
But I only like the cherry. The honey flavor ones were disgusting.
I don't know anything about anything except that there are cherry ones, and I thought they were candy. I didn't know they were medicinal.
Pectin.
So, pectin. Oh, great. So, jelly. By that logic, jelly is medicinal.
You could just, if you have a sore throat,
eat a jar of jelly.
Just suck on peach jam all day long.
No, yeah, jelly. Eat a whole jar, and you'll be fine. Okay, that's our podcast. We're so idiotic. That's our podcast. And we love that you're along on this journey with us. Thank you for being here this week with us. We appreciate that you spend your time, your podcast time, with us, and we certainly are having a great time. We hope you are too.
Every week we tell you what's making us happy in food, so please tell us what's making you happy in food this week, and if it's really funny or really great, we will talk about it here on Cooking with Bruce and Mark.